You're listening to Comedy Central.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
October 16th, 2019. From Comedy Central's World News headquarters in New York, this is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition.
Is about her search for redemption in America's prison system. Santoya Brown-Long will be joining us, everybody. And then after that, we're gonna chat with a superstar comedian and an actor who's out with her first book. Ali Wong is gonna be on the show. Also on tonight's show, China is joining the Lakers. You never have to touch your phone again, and the Trumps and Bidens play Family Feud. So let's catch up on today's headlines. Let's kick it off with some sports news. The conflict between the NBA and China over the Hong Kong protests continued this week. But now, King James has stepped into the fray.
In Hong Kong tonight, basketball superstar LeBron James under fire, his famed jersey up in smoke. Furor growing over his response to this tweet sent by Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey earlier this month in apparent support of anti-government protesters.
I don't want to get into a feud with Daryl, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand.
Those comments setting off a political brush fire here at home. Republican senators quick to pounce. Rick Scott of Florida writing, clearly King James is the one who isn't educated on the situation. Nebraska's Ben Sass, you're parroting communist propaganda. China is running torture camps and you know it.
Yes, LeBron James is getting a lot of heat for not taking a stand against China and their oppression, with people even burning his jersey in Hong Kong. Which, by the way, if the NBA kept statistics of most jerseys burned, I think LeBron would dominate that too. Yeah. Yeah, Hong Kong burns his jersey. Cleveland burned his jersey. Miami burned his jersey. Like, forget Nike. LeBron should get sponsored by Kingsford Lighter Fluid. That's what they should do. This guy's been killing it in every field. And you know, normally I would agree that NBA players shouldn't have to know the intricacies of East Asia policy. But at the same time, Dennis Rodman is basically the US ambassador to North Korea. So I don't know what the rules are anymore. I don't know how it works. I also understand why people think LeBron's comments were insensitive or misguided. But at the same time, I get where he's coming from. Yeah, because the Houston Rockets GM slammed China on Twitter when LeBron was on his way to China. So LeBron was probably like, hey man, stop this beef after I leave. What's wrong with you, man? I'm going there. Because I would do the same thing. Like, if you asked me in China what I thought about China's policies, I'd be like, I think China has policies. And they are the policies that allow me to fly home from China. All right, but let's move on to a more American scandal involving Gina Rodriguez. Some people have said that the Latina actor has a history of making insensitive or condescending remarks about black people. And yesterday, she did not do herself any favors.
Be careful what you post on Instagram. Here is your fair warning, because actress Gina Rodriguez learned that the hard way.
Voodoo. I could do what you do. Believe me. Niggas give me heebie-jeebies.
Now apologizing for using the N-word in a post.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I just wanted to reach out and apologize. I am sorry. I am sorry if I offended anyone by singing along to the Fugees, to a song I love that I grew up on. I love Lauryn Hill. And I really am sorry if I offended you.
Okay, here's Trevor's tip of the day. If you insist on saying the N-word when you're rapping along with a song, don't do it on Instagram. Yeah. Do it on The Masked Singer, okay? Yeah. Because then people will have to wait 3 weeks to see if they get to be mad at you. Yeah, they'll be like, I think that was T-Pain who said it, but if it was Donny Osmond, his ass is in big trouble. I also think rappers should help. Yeah, because like they make the songs. I think rappers could help prevent these incidents from happening in the first place. Right? Because think about it, rappers already make songs that are safe for radio. I think now they need to make versions of their songs that are safe for non-black people. Yeah, they can just like replace the N-word with something safe, like my friends. You know what I mean? Yeah, just change it. It's just like, and if you don't know, now you know, my friend. It's a lot safer for everyone. You just do it to like every single song. Ball so hard, wanna find me. First, my friends gotta find me. And finally, some tech news that'll change the way you make obscene gestures at your phone.
Google's newest phone works without even touching it. The Pixel 4 was unveiled at an event in New York City. Like Apple's iPhone, users can unlock the Pixel with their face. But the feature getting the most buzz is gesture control.
So let's say you're driving, listening to music, and you want to advance to the next track. You don't like that one, or you want to go back and listen to it again.
Google is hoping the new tech will lead to more sales in the highly competitive smartphone market.
Wow. The first phone that will turn everyone into a magician's assistant. Call mom. This really is amazing technology. You can open your phone just by waving at it. No one's ever had this technology except the front door of a Walgreens. Never have we seen it before. You know what's weird is how, like, the way we unlock our phones is evolving, right? Because first we had to type in a code, and then we just had to pick it up and look at it. Now we can just wave at it without touching it. It feels like we're like slowly breaking up with our phone. Like we're just moving away. The next one will let you unlock your phone by being like, it's not you, it's me. You know who I also feel bad for? Bernie Sanders. Yeah, he shouldn't get this phone. He's gonna be setting that thing off all the time without meaning to. It's just gesture control. He's gonna be like, and that's why we need to take on the 1%. Calling the one, no, I'm not calling. I'm not calling, cancel. All right, that's it for the headlines. Let's move on to our top story. Impeachment. It's democracy's mulligan. For weeks now, practically everyone has weighed in on the Ukraine scandal. From Trump to Pelosi to a cured rattlesnake. Everyone except the man at the center of it all, Hunter Biden. He sat on the board of a Ukrainian energy company while his dad served as vice president. And now that Trump is using it to target his dad, Hunter is finally speaking out.
Hunter Biden speaking out for the first time, defending his business dealings in Ukraine, saying he did, quote, nothing wrong at all, but acknowledging to ABC News what he calls poor judgment.
Did I make a mistake? Well, maybe in the grand scheme of things, yeah. But did I make a mistake based upon some unethical lapse? Absolutely not.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably not. I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that if my last name wasn't Biden.
Yeah, you know what? He's right. If Hunter's last name wasn't Biden, his life would have been a lot different. For one thing, he definitely wouldn't have gotten into the Harvard School of Surprise Massages. Yeah. But you know, I do appreciate Hunter's honesty there, because he admits that he was probably hired by the Ukrainian energy company because of his last name. That's how the world works. A lot of people get opportunities because of who their parents are. Cindy Crawford's daughter is now a model. Andrew Cuomo's father was the governor of New York before him. And do you think Harry Potter would have gotten all that attention if it wasn't for his famous wizard parents? Right? No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he wasn't a good wizard, but he was like the only student whose name Dumbledore knew. He was like personal. Yeah, Dumbledore called Ron and Hermione. He was like Freckles and Girl Harry. And by the way, family names work the other way too. That's why Ginny Weasley was getting eaten by snakes in the basement. It took everyone 400 pages to notice that shit. I'm just saying, man. The truth is, your name could be a big reason that you get a leg up in life. Like, I know for a fact, I know the only reason I got to where I am today is probably because my great-great-grandfather built the Ark. Like, I accept that. What can I say, man? My great-great-grandpa loved boats and watching animals. Now, with that said, that's what he was doing on the boat. That's normal. Now, with that said, you can't deny, it's not a good look that a Ukrainian company hired Hunter Biden just months after Joe Biden became the Obama administration's point man on Ukraine, because it looks very much like he got this business because of his father's position. And I understand why a lot of people would complain about that. What I don't understand is why these people are complaining about that.
Let's talk about the double standard. What do you guys think would happen if Donald Trump Jr. went to China and came back with $1.5? No, not $1.5 billion, just $1.5.
Can you imagine if I took 3 cents from the Ukraine or 4 cents from China? I mean, it's unbelievable. We gave up our entire business so my father could run for president. We don't do anything overseas anymore. We gave up. We didn't have to. Do you see me on any boards? Do you see Don on any boards? Do you see Ivanka on any boards?
Okay, first of all, I'm not surprised nobody has put Beavis and Forehead on any corporate boards. That's not like a scandal. That's not a thing. I don't even think they're allowed on diving boards. It's just like, no, Eric, you're jumping off the wrong end. Jump into the wet part, dude. And secondly, if there was ever an example of people who got opportunities because of their names, it's these two. I mean, Donald Trump Jr. just got paid $50,000 to give a speech at a college. If he wasn't Donald Trump's son, why else would they be asking him to speak, huh? To share his expertise on bad beards, huh? Or would it be more like, ladies and gentlemen, a man who once sat on a tree stump, Don Jr.? He's like, so what happened was my bunions were acting up and there was no chair in sight. But then I remembered someone once told me, stumps are okay to sit on. Thank you, good night. Also, if Trump's sons are actually concerned, like truly concerned about children of politicians doing business overseas, then can someone please explain to me why they've been doing this?
Trump promised no new foreign deals, but that hasn't stopped his family from continuing business overseas. The Trumps have plowed ahead with deals in India, Indonesia, Uruguay, and the Philippines that were already in the works before Trump took office.
By Wednesday, Eric Trump will have gone to 4 countries on Trump company business since January 1st. In early January, it was a trip to Uruguay for a glitzy party to promote a new property.
This morning, Donald Trump Jr. is in India to promote Trump-branded condos in 2 cities there.
As a business, we're going to continue to run. We have incredible assets all over the world that will continue to operate and to grow.
Yeah, that's right. Even with their dad in office, the Trumps are still growing their business in places like India, Philippines, Indonesia, Uruguay. They're all over the world. It's like the Amazing Race with no running and no chins. Don and Eric are doing so much international business. It almost feels like Donald is just trying to not spend time with his sons. You know, it's almost like he's like, boys, I've got a new business for you to take care of. It's on Mars. He's like, but Dad, there's no way to get back from Mars. And I appreciate your sacrifice. Bye-bye. And I know this is crazy to say. But at least Donald and Eric are one step removed from the presidency. Because there are other Trump children who are in business and governments.
Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump's roles in the White House opened up another potential avenue for foreign influence. Officials in at least 4 countries talked about ways they could manipulate Kushner, in part by taking advantage of his complicated business entanglements.
Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner took in as much as $135 million in revenue last year. That includes almost $4 million Ivanka Trump pulled in from her stake in the family hotel here near the White House, where diplomats and foreign dignitaries spend big money.
Last year, China approved more than a dozen trademarks for Ivanka Trump-branded products. The timing, just as the U.S. and China were trying to restart trade talks, raised eyebrows.
Okay, come on. China approved a dozen trademarks for Ivanka right as her dad was negotiating trade deals with China? You can't tell me that's not suspicious timing. I mean, it's like how right before Christmas, my mom said that a horrible accident happened at Santa's factory. Yeah. How does this happen every year, Mom? Huh? They need to look into safety regulations at the factory. I'll never get my toys. And China does not mess around with its trademarks. That's what you have to understand. For instance, Michael Jordan had to fight for 4 years to trademark himself. Yeah, the Chinese courts argued that this was not Michael Jordan. Yeah, they were like, no, that could be anyone. Some of them, they were like, yeah, I was jumping the other day. Who knows? That's me. That could be me. That's how crazy they are about trademarks. And I mean, that's wild. This would be like saying that this isn't Don Jr. I mean, no one else has ever sat on a stump like that. We know who that is. Stumpman, Stumpman, Stumpman. Now, let's be clear. I'm not defending Hunter Biden. I don't know him. I don't know about his business. All I'm saying is that the last people who should be talking about the blurred lines of family names and political influence are the people currently running their home office from the White House. We'll be right back.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My first guest tonight was just 16 years old when she was convicted of killing a man who solicited her for sex and sentenced to life in prison. After serving 15 years, she was granted full clemency and tells her story in the new book, Free Santoya, My Search for Redemption in the American Prison System. Please welcome Santoya Brown-Long. There are few stories you will read in a book, fiction or fact, that have as many twists and turns as the real life that you have lived. I knew a few details of your story, but reading through the book is a really powerful and painful and then redemptive experience at the same time. When you wrote the story again, was it hard for you to relive some of the decisions and some of the things that happened to you in your life that got you to where you ended up?
It was. You know, when I started writing the book, I had thought that I had dealt
with everything that had happened to me. And when you're actually writing those things, it brings up, you know, that time, that moment, and you have to step back in there, especially when I started working with a writer who's an amazing writer, Bethany Mauger, asked really great questions, asked me, you know, about some of the things that I was feeling and thinking, mm-hmm. things that I really hadn't given much consideration to. And, you know, it opened those moments back up. And so it was really good to be able to just really process that and to just really step back in those moments, even though it was hard.
One part of your story that is particularly powerful and complicated is when you talk about your relationship with the idea that you were involved in sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really gripping in the book because you say you didn't consider yourself to be part of sex trafficking in any way. You know, there's a passage where you say, I thought of sex traffic victims as people who were in suitcases or stuffed into containers and chained, and yet I thought I had a boyfriend when in fact this was your pimp who was making you do what you were doing in the world. Is that part of the problem that we face in dealing with sex trafficking? Is that some of the people who are involved in it don't think of themselves as being victims in the situation?
Absolutely. You know, if you can't identify, you know, victims when it comes to some of the people who are supposed to be saying, you know, this is child abuse. I came across a study where I think it was 57% of mandatory reporters, where these are counselors, these are teachers, these are people who are in constant contact with youth. They're supposed to report every instance of child abuse, and 57% of them thought that some teenagers willingly prostituted themselves, thought that some teenagers traded sex for shelter, for food, because they did it, they consented. And that's just not the case. That is abuse. That is exploitation. Mm-hmm. And these individuals aren't reporting it. And if you have them saying, you're not a victim, you're actually willingly doing this, why wouldn't I believe it? And so for so long, you know, I thought I just consented. I was just promiscuous because that's what I was being told by society. And so it took for a campaign from a group in Tennessee called End Slavery that, you know, they stressed that there's no such thing as teenage prostitution. I didn't know anything about the federal statute that said anyone who's a minor, you know, it's actually a trafficking victim. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as consent. And, you know, that was hard to kind of face. I used to argue with people when they said, you know, you were taken advantage of. No, I wasn't. I knew what I was doing. And that's just not the case.
It's really hard to be in that situation where you still want to maintain your agency, but at the same time, you have to admit that something was done to you.
Right.
You faced the ultimate punishment for what happened to you in your life, and that was after this man solicited you, took you back to his place, abused you, and essentially held you captive in his world. You killed him, and you were sentenced to life in prison. It was meant to be over 50 years. You served 15, which is essentially a life sentence because you were 16 years old at the time. In that time in prison, what did you think your world was going to be? You know, because you went in as a 16-year-old.
Well, I don't know, but I know that ever since I was in prison, I'd always dreamed of, you know, living a real life. I'd never let go of hoping that I would get out one day. So I really feel like I'm living my dream right now.
Wow.
And yeah, so I always kept that faith and kept that hope.
Is that why you studied in prison?
It is.
Because like, that was fascinating to me in the story is here's somebody who's going to spend the rest of their life in jail. There is no promise that you will get out. Mm-hmm. And yet here you are studying, furthering your education, trying to just make the best of the time that you have.
Yeah.
Why do that when you don't think you're going to get out?
Because I didn't believe them. Like, I didn't believe them when they told me I had life. And I would make a point of when I would say things, you would hear a lot like of people say, you know, if I get out or if my confession is overturned, I would always say when I get out. And I know my husband, I would talk to him all the time. Well, when I get out, I want to do this. And he would always be like, well, let's cross that bridge when we get there. But it's just something that came so natural. When I get out, when I get out, when I get out. And it was like that for the entire 15 years.
When we look at the criminal justice system today in America, mm-hmm. it is an unfortunate fact that there are many Santoya Browns who are experiencing its adverse effects. Mm-hmm. If there was one thing you wish would have been different when it came to how your case was handled,
what would you wish that thing would be that would be applied to every case going forward?
My case specifically, number one, I do think that there are things that I needed to be held accountable for. And I think there are a lot of cases with juveniles who commit certain crimes. There has to be a level of accountability. There has to be consequences. However, a juvenile is not the same as an adult. Even the Supreme Court has already ruled that several times in a string of cases. So it just doesn't seem like it makes sense to me for the Supreme Court to say that juveniles are not as culpable as adults. However, they can get the same
sentencing.
They can get the same sentence.
Right.
And so I definitely think that that should have been different. I think it needs to change. It's still the case now. You still have juveniles who are tried as adults, and they receive the same exact sentences as adults. And I think that's one of the things that needs to change. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of sentences are just excessive in general. I think that 51 years is ridiculous. Like, if you're going to give somebody life without parole, give them life without parole. Don't say, I'm going to give you a chance at parole after 51 years. That's right. Not a chance. That's a death sentence. Like, who's going to make 51 years in prison? Nobody.
You have lived a story many wouldn't dream of living or have nightmares of living. You've come out on the other side. You still smile. You say you're living your dream. Mm-hmm. You have the opportunity to live now. What are the things Santoya does where you just go like, man, this is, apart from being free, this is just what life is about?
Honestly, like, when I'm just at home, sitting on the floor, watching a movie, I've cooked, I got my hair all over my head, just chilling. Like, this is it. This is what life is about. I don't have to worry about, you know, watching the clock because it's going to be count time, or I need to hurry up and get my shower in before lockdown. You know, it's just being able to be free.
That's all you can ask for. Thank you so much for being on the show. Wonderful having you here. Free Santoya, a stunning book, is available now. Santoya Brown Long, everybody. We'll be right back.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
My next guest is a writer, actor, and stand-up comedian with two hit Netflix comedy specials and the film Always Be My Maybe. She has a new book called Dear Girls, Intimate Tales, Untold Secrets, and Advice for Living Your Best Life. Please welcome Ali Wong. Welcome to the Daily Show, everyone.
Thanks, Trevor. It's my first time being here.
It is your first time being here. I feel like it's been way too long, because like I watch everything you do, and I'm like a giant fan, and then I see you everywhere else. And
God, you're like stalking me.
No, for real. Congratulations on everything you've done. I mean, like, we watched you blow up in stand-up, which everyone loves, and then the thing that really brought me joy was just seeing how you kick ass in movies as well.
Oh, thanks so much.
You're a movie star now. You realize that, right?
Woo! It was really fun, and I got to mack on those three fine-ass dudes.
That's
you watched
true.
The movie, right?
That's true.
I know.
Yes.
It was like, who wrote this thing? Like, whose right. idea was this?
Yeah.
Who was in charge?
You have Keanu Reeves fighting over you.
I mean, no.
And then he came to your show, didn't he?
He came to my show, which was amazing. He was so sweet, and he was like in such a good mood
right.
afterwards too. He was really smiley. It was the
best. Do people get confused though if like Keanu Reeves plays your boyfriend in a movie and then they see him at your show? Isn't someone like, I think it's real?
I'm cute or whatever, but no one thinks that he's really wants to date me. They were like, that movie was straight up fiction. Like all my friends were like, Allie, you're cute, but you ain't that cute.
You have fans of your stand-up, you have fans of your movies, but a book is a very different medium for us to engage Ali Wong in. Your first book.
It is.
And it's also an interesting style of book. You've written this book, Dear Girls, it's specifically written to your children.
Letters to my two daughters.
Right.
I have two girls who are under the age of 4. And the first one was in that striped dress
mm-hmm.
when I filmed Baby Cobra, and the second one's in the leopard dress. And they're very aware of it, too. Like, they know which ones they were. And I wanted to... My dad wrote me this letter before he passed away, and my real name is Alexandra, and it was started with Dear Alexandra, and he... like reflected a lot on our relationship and how I had affected his life. And it was a short letter, and I love it so much.
Wow.
But I wish that he had written me more, because after he passed, it was too late to ask him all these questions about who he, when I was born, like he was already the successful anesthesiologist.
Right.
And in the same way, like when my girls were born, they only know me after I filmed those two specials, and they don't know like what it took for me to get where I am and how I the grind before, and I think that's such an important life lesson. And I want them to know that I wasn't, you know, that I struggled a lot and then I had to work really hard. So
it really is an interesting book, because you know when I first got the book, they were like, oh no, Ali wrote this for her two daughters, and I was like, oh, this is gonna be like a cute little like kids book.
Oh no, and then she writes about like erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
Like that she experienced while living in New York.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, this is like, it's very, it's graphic and it's real. It's like,
yeah.
It's very real. Like, I'm assuming it's not for them now.
No! They're like reading, like, they're watching Daniel Tiger. I hope they watch, like, it's so, there's so much like dirty content in there that's
yes.
like even more dirty than my specials, that I hope that they watch the specials long before they read the book.
Right. But it, I mean, as much as it is for your daughters, it really is for women in general. That's what I love about the book, because you're telling your story. And for instance, you share stories about stand-up comedy that I would have never thought of and have never experienced because I'm a man in stand-up. So for instance, you just talk about how much you have to love stand-up as a woman when, like, you talk about, like, going to, like, walking to your car
yeah,
at, like, 1 a.m. by
think,
yourself.
I think and... the reason, I think a big reason why there aren't more women who do stand-up, it's not getting on stage is the easy part. That's the fun part. And being funny is the fun part. But going on the, you have to go on the road
right.
to be a great stand-up, because you have to test out your material in all these different cities
mm-hmm.
in front of all these different audiences. And that's, it's a safety issue. I think that's why more women don't do it, because when you go on the road, the first day you go out, as you know, you get into a car with 4 strangers.
Always, yes.
From your, and it's crazy. You
yeah.
just like get into a car and you're like, I never met this person before.
Yes.
They could kidnap
it's like,
you.
It's like a
and
random
And you're very
thing.
Kidnappable.
Yes.
But you could defend yourself.
But no, but this is, I mean, like, because like when we started was before Uber, before any of that. So like what would be funny is you'd get to like a random town. This would happen, like every comedian has this story. You get to a random town, you're performing in a random comedy club,
right.
and then they just tell you like Jim is gonna pick you up.
Right.
And you're like, who's Jim? They're like, he works with the club. You're like, at the club or with the club?
Yeah, there's no picture being sent
no,
to your
no,
phone.
You don't know who Jim is.
Some guy's coming
yeah.
in some like 1975 Toyota
yeah.
Corolla that
yeah.
smells like the ghost of like a dead comic sperm, and you're just like, are you like, is this for real?
And you, every time you get in the car, there's always you get in the car and the person's always, oh, you can just throw that on the back seat. There's always something on the back that you have to throw.
There's like old Fritos
and stuff. Yeah. So I can imagine how unnerving that must be.
For a man, that's like, oh, this is gross, but so is my apartment, whoever, whatever. But for a woman, it's like, am I gonna get killed? You like every time, you know, you think about that. And it's, it was like, I think about the days when I started, and I would never want my daughters to go through that.
You also talk about like just the journey of your rise in comedy. You know, you talk about your success, the grind that came behind it, but then you talk about like just the experiences that you've had where someone, you know, many people in fact tried to reduce you to just, you know, your factor. So they went like, oh, you're getting, you're successful just because you're Asian.
There's like,
just because
even
you're
now,
a woman. Just because
like,
you're pregnant.
There's so many, there was a guy who, I won't name names. He's not a very successful comedian. So I don't even know if you would know who he was.
No, I don't.
But he came up to, you wouldn't know. You're out of there now. But he like came up to me while I was pregnant the second time. And he touched my belly with his like fat, sweaty hand, which is so gross to begin with. It's like, it's like, why don't you finger me while you're at it? This is so not okay. Like, just because I'm pregnant doesn't mean it's okay for you to touch my belly. And he was like, oh, so this is your shtick. This is like your thing now, right? And I'm like, I was like, getting pregnant is not rainbow suspenders. It's not a shtick. And then he was like, you're so lucky, Allie, because you get all of this attention because you're both a female and a minority. And I was like, yeah, because, you know, historically, that's always been the winning combo. For recognition and success.
Oh,
and he was like, you know what I mean. Like me, I'm just another white guy. And I was like, be a better white guy. There's so many successful, there's Jimmy Kimmel, there's Will Ferrell, there's Nick Kroll, there's John Mulaney. I could name like, I could go on this whole show for like 35 days.
We'll do like another show like, just of successful white comedians. Just be a funnier white guy.
Right.
Like, that's it. So the girls are going to read the book. Girls out there will read the book. Women can read the book.
Men can read the book too, Trevor.
I like that. I did.
Yeah.
I did. So it's Dear Girls.
My husband wrote the afterword too. It's very sweet.
Yes, he did. He wrote a beautiful thing about how like you consult with him about the jokes that you will tell about him on stage, which is really nice.
Yeah.
I like that. That was really sweet.
It was very sweet. And what it's like to be married to me, you know, because people, that's the number one question people ask him all the time, because they think I'm like standing up on a couch with like a growing life form inside of me, just like screaming these like very funny anecdotes at him all the time. And he's like, that's not, you know.
That's not our life. Ali Wong, congratulations on another successful endeavor.
Thank you so much.
You for being on the Daily Kitchen. You can catch Ali on the Milk and Money Tour. Dear Girls is available now for everybody. Ali Wong, everybody.
The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, Ears Edition. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central and the Comedy Central app. Watch full episodes and videos at thedailyshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to The Daily Show on YouTube for exclusive content and more.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.